This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Well, I've got a lot of wrestling stuff I want to talk about, so I think we should just get going. Get to talking now. Okay, then we can wait.
No, I want to talk.
Okay.
About Saved by the Bell.
The college years, the new class.
No, I'm talking Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Ah, Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
We're going to start at the beginning, and we're going to go all the way through college years, and the Vegas wedding, and then we're going to hit the new class, and we're going to go to the second group of kids in the new class. And then we can talk wrestling.
You know, I miss Mikey. I think it would have been excellent for him to continue on in the series. I enjoyed him as a character.
Because the school, the principal, and three of the students all moved from Indiana to California.
Yeah.
So it just would have been really weird for another person to go there.
Is that like one of the weirdest second seasons, like second, you know what I mean? Like second season change arounds of a show ever? I mean, like, the only other show I could think of that had a dramatic change like this from like one season to another was the Jeff Foxworthy show, where him and his son went to the, like, They did a season, and then, like, the second season was him and his son, but there was a new wife, he had a new job. I mean, like, everything changed about the show except him and his son.
That's funny. I never watched that, so I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I remember that, but I can't think of anything else. Like, like when Valerie Harper left Valerie's family, and it became the Hogan family when Sandy Duncan came in, all they did was swap out one character.
Yeah, but that was after a couple of years.
Exactly. That was the second year. Yeah. But, like, I can't think of any other show that's changed so dramatically Saved by the Bell did.
Unless it's, like, an anthology type of show, like True Detective.
Yes, or
Fargo
type American stuff. Horror Story.
Yeah, but those you know going in, everything's going to be different.
Right, that's how it's supposed to be, yes.
But yeah. I think before we get on an 8-hour Saved by the Bell tangent.
It could happen.
Trust me, I'm all ready for it.
It could happen.
So, wrestling, huh?
Yeah, professional wrestling.
Do you know who was a wrestler?
Week? What?
Do you know who was a wrestler?
Who was?
AC Slater was a wrestler.
He was
a state champion.
He was an amateur high school wrestler.
Yes.
Because you remember once he got
in college, but
See, when he got to college, he almost quit the team. He was so discouraged because he went from being top dog to not as good as everybody else.
Oh my God.
That was a hard thing for him to deal with.
It was.
It's a good thing Zach was there to talk his buddy in, you know, to stick it around.
I sense a theme tonight.
So anyways, lots of wrestling to talk about.
Okay.
And I'm going to start out with, it's a spoiler right this second, but it's not going to be a spoiler by the time this drops. We have a new WWE champion.
Oh, yeah?
And that man's name is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Which is not the same as AC Slater.
Correct. I mean, the first letter is the same, second letter is different, and then there's a whole name that's different.
Oh, but yeah.
I mean, they both start with S, Slater, Styles. There's T's in there, there's L's in there.
Both pretty
there's
phenomenal.
Double S's. I mean, they're pretty close, actually.
Yeah, see? There you go.
But
yeah.
I digress.
I saw the other day.
Yeah.
The rumor that there was a possibility that Mahal was hurt, and that's why they might make the switch.
I had heard it was because no one gives a shit about Jinder Mahal, Survivor Series match has
why
no
stop
interest.
That now? Why stop now? There's been no interest for 6 months.
I think it's because they finally were like, all right, enough's enough.
But
we gotta make a change.
If that was the case, for me,
yeah,
I would have just let Lesnar absolutely destroy him.
Yeah, but then he still has the belt.
But then the next, I guess 2 days later on SmackDown, have somebody beat him for the belt.
Nah, I think this is better. I think this just made Survivor Series interesting.
I'm still not that interested, to be honest.
Well, I'm more interested in Brock Lesnar against AJ Styles than I am Brock Lesnar against Jinder Mahal.
True, but why is this not Night of the Champions?
Yes, I agree with that.
We talked about this a while ago, if they're bringing back a bunch of the old WCW pay-per-views, give us Night of the Champions. And then, hey, look, Survivor Series comes, and it's like, we're going to have the U.S. title against the Intercontinental title. We're going to have our tag champ square off. And I'm like, this isn't a Survivor Series.
No, that's not Teams
there's,
5
there's
will survive.
There's no reason.
No. I know we're getting two traditional Survivor Series matches, but this should be a Night of Champions pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Or Clash of Champions or whatever, you know, Clash of the Champions or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
But think about these ramifications. I don't see Jinder Mahal getting the belt back anytime soon.
I'm hoping he doesn't even get a rematch.
Maybe India. When he's in India, that'd be a big pop for the crowd there. But, geez, I hope not. I think what you'll see – but think about the ramifications of this. Now, Survivor Series is AJ Styles against Brock Lesnar. Now, the Starrcade event – the week after is no longer Nakamura against Jinder Mahal in a cage for the title. Does this now become AJ Styles against Shinsuke Nakamura in the cage for the title? Or does this become Jinder Mahal getting his rematch? Is that when he'll get his rematch? Is that Starrcade house show?
That's a good question.
And then does Jinder win the title back at the Starrcade house show so he can go to India as champion?
Jeez, that...
That would suck.
Know. But, you know, this – if that's the situation – I mean, listen, I get that they bounce the tag belts back and forth over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy that the Intercontinental belt has stayed on one person for a while.
Yeah.
The U.S. belt has jumped around a little too much lately.
Yep.
You know, Lesnar's been the champ for a bit. But, like, come on. You can't have the world title keep changing and changing and changing and changing. Like, I get – Jinder Mahal had the belt now 5-6 months, right?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yep.
When did he win it? I don't even remember. It was after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, it was after Mania. I was very surprised.
Was it SummerSlam or before SummerSlam?
No, it was before SummerSlam. It was like May.
Hmm. Yeah, so I mean, he's had it for almost half a year. But
yeah,
like, if you're going to drop it just to give it to... you know, to AJ to have the match at Survivor Series and then switch it back to Mahal just to have it for the, you know, for the India tour, you may as well just keep it on him.
They had Joe beat Nakamura for the title just to have Nakamura win back two weeks later in Japan.
Right, but at the same time, when did Joe beat Nakamura for the belt? Wasn't it...
It was at TakeOver Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't have... Like, at least that's a huge thing. This is just
you're right. Well, this is kind of a huge thing. This is the first time that the WWE Championship has ever changed hands outside North America.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's changed hands in Canada twice.
Outside North America. Okay.
Outside North America, yeah. Bret Hart beat Ric Flair in Saskatchewan in...
Shawn Michaels destroyed Bret Hart.
Then Shawn Michaels Wade laced to Bret Hart at Montreal at Survivor Series. Well, Shawn Michaels is clearly better than Bret Hart. Paul's not listening right now.
It would have been way funnier if Paul was listening.
Oh, he'd be so angry at us right now because, you know, Bret Hart's his guy. But still the same. So I wonder what kind of effects this is going to have, like I said, at Survivor Series at the Starrcade event, which... I guess who cares, because at the Starrcade event, they're not televising that.
Really?
I've read that they...
It's not even on the network?
It's not going to be a network special because they don't feel like it's going to... It's not going to draw anyone to want to get the network to watch it, is the rumor.
But if now the main event is Nakamura and AJ Styles in a steel cage.
Yeah, that should draw some people.
How the crap would that not draw people? Like, you've got to at least put that match on.
Yeah, and Ric Flair is supposed to be making an appearance now. That would be his first appearance back since all his medical health issues. He's going to be making an appearance there. You have Charlotte going in a cage for the women's title against This has got to be a network special. It's fucking Starrcade. Like, the fact that they didn't... You know what I mean? Like, it's not a pay-per-view, which is bad enough. Okay, it's cool it's coming back, but it's not going to be a pay-per-view, which is stupid, but it's going to be a house show only, not even a network special. I just don't get that. Ugh. That makes no sense.
You know what? Take an episode of SmackDown, don't air an episode of SmackDown, and put this on TV for an hour.
Right, yeah.
Throw commercials in there. At least give us some of the matches. Come on.
Right. I mean, this would be so much better. Especially with, you know, Gallows and Anderson are wrestling the Rock and Roll Express on the show.
Yeah.
I think that's cool as hell. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm just so excited that Mahal's not the champion. I'm just jacked. Jacked, I tell you. Speaking of Gallows and Anderson, did you see their costumes on the October 30th Raw? They played their Southpaw regional wrestler characters, Tex Ferguson. Yes. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I hated they lost. The match wasn't the best, but I thought that was absolutely hilarious. It tickled me.
Would have been cooler if he came out as Festus.
Just to keep talking about WWE for a minute here. That Flair 30 for 30s tonight, as in Tuesday night. I can't wait to watch that. Are you going to watch that tonight, or are you going to hold off till...
It's definitely... The TiVo is all set for it.
Yeah.
I haven't decided if I'm going to watch it tonight or if I'm going to... I have a feeling I would... Daylight Savings is messing me up.
Really?
So I have a feeling I might pass out in the middle of it. So I might save it for tomorrow because I'm off work tomorrow.
Well, I worked Saturday to Sunday, and it dragged like crazy.
Yeah,
I can imagine. And then, like, not even the fact that we had to repeat an hour, or we fell back, and so I had to work an extra hour, it still just dragged horrendously, and then that just made it 10 times worse. I mean, it was... Oh, God, it was horrendous. Did you see that on Twitter, that the Charlotte Flair challenged Michelle McCool?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah. She was like, oh, it'd be great if like Michelle McCool came back and had one more match. I'd love to wrestle her. It wasn't like a negative thing. It was like a positive thing.
Right.
And Michelle was like, yes, I absolutely would do it. And Charlotte was like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, I'm absolutely serious. Get someone to call me. I've been waiting for someone to ask. So that's pretty cool, actually.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Just stick with the WWE. Apparently tonight, Tuesday night in Birmingham, Angle wrestled the house show.
Oh yeah, I saw that. This is going to be his first, his first live event in like 11 years or something.
Yep. WWE released Summer Rae, Daring Young, and Emma, and two out of three I could care less about.
You know, this is the thing. I mean, Summer Rae was pretty much pointless,
right?
But like, Daring Young was talented.
Yep.
But I mean, they broke up the primetime players just as they started getting some kind of a push.
Exactly.
And then they had them involved in a feud that nobody cared about.
Right.
For what seemed like 4 years, even though it was probably only about 5 months. And then you put them with Bob Backlund, which was odd.
Yeah, that was a really weird pairing.
You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like they just didn't know what to do with the guy. Which seems to be a common theme with a lot of people. But,
well, it just seems like with Summer Rae and Daring Young, it makes sense. They've been off air for so long, or off TV for so long, it's almost like, yeah, that kind of seems like an accurate thing that would happen. But
yeah,
then
I mean,
with
Summer Rae, I mean, it was kind of expected. With Daring Young, when they announced that he was released, I sort of thought to myself, you know, I haven't seen him in a while. And then I started thinking, was he hurt or something? But it's just... He just wasn't on TV.
Yeah, no, just literally wasn't on TV.
Yeah.
And so, again, those two guys being released, not a surprise. Emma, she just had two competitive matches with Asuka.
That, that whole thing pisses me off.
If she would have been destroyed and finished in seconds, it'd be like, no, that's why. But instead, no, she had two competitive matches, which I honestly thought Asuka should have gone over stronger with her debut. She should have destroyed her. But yeah, so it's kind of like either they didn't know they were going to release her. I don't know.
No, I mean,
she's taking everything. Indie booking starting in February. So yeah, Limitless Wrestling. Hey, Limitless Wrestling. Let's do it up.
Yeah, I mean, that bugs me so much because she is one of my favorites.
Yep.
I think, but like with the exception of Charlotte Flair, I think she's the all around, the next best all around performer.
Oh yeah, no, I think she's a fantastic wrestler. I mean, like, I can think of many other women wrestlers, quote fingers, they should have gotten rid of instead of Emma. Oh, Alicia Fox.
Naomi. No, but she's the your Raw Women's Survivor Series captain. That's a funny gimmick. She keeps talking like a captain.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's funny.
Yeah. Hey, Pete Dunne made his main roster debut Monday night, and they screwed that up, in my opinion.
Oh, don't spoil it. I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't?
No. I told you, I started watching Raw right before we recorded, and I'm in the middle of the battle of Samoa Joe match.
Do you know who he wrestles?
No.
Okay. So just,
I know that he showed up. That's all
I'll just
I
put
know.
It this way. Okay? I'm not going to tell you the match, who won, who he wrestled, whatever. But his music kicks on. The people go absolutely crazy because it's Pete Dunne.
And then it cuts to commercial.
No. It says Pete Dunne right on the thing. We know it's Pete Dunne coming out. Angle walks out. And Angle then like basically announces that the person in the ring, you're going to be fighting Pete Dunne. And they never shut Pete Dunne's music off. They just lowered it so you could hear Angle. And then his music kicked back up high again. And then Pete Dunne walked out. It was like they meant to play Angle's music and they accidentally kicked on Pete Dunne's type of thing. But instead of just being like, oh, it's Pete Dunne. They know it's him. They know who it is. Then but they still had Angle go out and like introduce him like he was a mystery. Hi, you're in Manchester, United Kingdom.
Yeah, and but why would the people in Manchester know who Pete Dunne was?
And based based on the pop, they knew who UK Pete Dunne champ. Was. Yeah, they knew who the United Kingdom champion was. So, I was very happy to see him on Raw, and I was very, very pleased with the match myself. And Michael Cole, actually, I'm gonna have to give him credit.
Nope.
Yep. He said two sentences really good on this show.
Oh, Jesus.
Just two sentences.
Was it, I hereby announce my resignation from Raw. You will never see me again on TV.
No, it was him putting over Pete Dunne, though, as for like $1 million.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, okay, you have to admit, the UK Championship Tournament, without Vince in his ear the whole time, Michael Cole was actually really good.
No.
He was. I hate to say it, but he was. It hurts me to say it, but he was. But anyways, speaking of Pete Dunne, he's going to be defending his United Kingdom Championship at the TakeOver of the Night Before Survivor Series.
Oh, nice.
At TakeOver War Games against Johnny Gargano.
Interesting.
That should be pretty goddamn awesome.
Well, yeah, why?
Plain and simple.
Him, though.
I don't know. There's no rule that says you have to be from the United Kingdom to represent the United Kingdom.
Well, that's apparently. True. I guess the European title champion. Was never.
Exactly.
But, like, the whole tournament for this championship, though, was, like, all UK guys.
I know. But still, we get to watch Pete Dunne wrestle. The only thing that will suck is if he loses the belt and then we never see him again.
You know, I think this is probably just. Well, we got to buy a little bit more time for Tommaso Ciampa to come back.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he'll make his return and attack.
Oh, my God. Maybe he'll make his return in the middle of this match and cost it.
Yeah.
And then we have the Royal Rumble take over them fighting.
Yep. That would be awesome.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for that.
I cannot wait for their singles match either. That's going to be excellent.
Because their match, when they didn't really even have a story.
Oh, at the Cruiserweight Classic. They told the story in the match, for crying out loud.
So good. But this one, you can have a build-up, and you can have, like, the hatred between them going into it. Oh, my God. I mean, when they were tag team partners, they beat the piss out of each other.
Now that they don't actually like each other.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for this match. Those two guys are good.
I would say,
my personal opinion, out of everyone in NXT, those two guys are my favorites. And, I mean, there's a lot of good guys in NXT now. But those two,
I'm a big fan. The TakeOver the night before is definitely shaping up to be better than the actual Survivor Series.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
When was the last time the TakeOver did not shape up to be better than the pay-per-view the following night?
Never.
I mean, when was the last time you were more excited for the main roster show than you were the TakeOver?
No, I can't. And again, I think we've talked about this in the past. I think it's in defense of the main roster show, they try to do too much. Whereas exactly TakeOver is like five or six, 8 week built matches.
Yep.
And, but that's what WWE used to be back in the 90s. So, I mean,
a lot of the problem.
Yeah.
And I still hold the belief that if WWE went back to the big four pay-per-views.
Yep.
And every once in a while did a big thing.
Yeah.
The product would be significantly better.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
You don't need a pay-per-view a month. It's watered stuff down. It doesn't let you build enough. Now, because now you have a big feud that, goes June, July, August, ends at SummerSlam. It used to be, oh my goodness, these two guys, something happens in the Royal Rumble and it costs them a match. And then they would build to a WrestleMania, and then... Right. Yeah, they'd settle the feud at SummerSlam and like some huge ridiculous thing.
Yep.
That was awesome. Like now it's like, oh, hey, here's your feud. Though these guys will fight 14 times on Raw or SmackDown in three pay-per-views in the next 4 months. And then they'll move on to something else. And it's like, I would rather a gradual build than everything shoved in my face.
100 million percent. Yeah.
So. And I mean, now that they kind of went to the network model instead of the pay-per-view model, I mean, they don't need to do network specials every week, or every other week, it seems, because you got your Raw and your SmackDown stuff.
Right. They could still do the shows. I would say they could still do the shows, but just have it be. No, because then it's still a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because it's still trying to be bigger than what it is.
Yep.
Yeah. No, if they went back to the Big Four format with, how about this? You do the Big Four format, so you have January and March and August... Or March, end of March, beginning of April, August, and then November, okay? So right. In February, nobody has a special because they don't need it. And right. Then you say Raw will have one in May, SmackDown has one in June.
Right.
And then nobody has one in July. August is SummerSlam. No one has one in September or October. November is Survivor Series. And then in December, you're back around again. So... If you let them have one in October, let's just say. They both have one in October, even.
Right.
I mean, you're spreading it out then. You're giving time to build between storylines.
Yeah. And, I mean, even if you wanted to sprinkle in more stuff than that, that's when you can have your Clash of the Champions.
Yeah.
That's when you can have, this month we're going to have Raw and SmackDown. We're going to do a tag team tournament pay-per-view. Find a partner, have a tournament. We'll compete for the glory of SmackDown or Raw. They can do fun stuff that might actually get people interested. Have a King of the Ring tournament 1 month.
Oh, Jesus, yes. do a do a King of the Ring tournament in June, and you have April and May to have qualifying matches leading up to it.
Right.
This is where I think this is where I think that New Japan is smart, because you have the G1 tournament, which has two blocks and 32 guys having, you know, round robin matches, you know, for a month and a half. But WWE can do the same thing for like two friggin' months. And they could make every one of those matches mean something, because every win would – a win would mean something. A loss would mean something. That's, think of the Cruiserweight Classic. That's why it worked. We had, you know, that tournament for 2 months on during the summer. It's because every win meant something. So, like, every year they have the G1 Special. They have the Super Juniors. They have – the World Tag League's about to start up here. I mean, that's how they – I mean, I – And Noah's done the same thing, and All Japan has done the same thing. They have their own versions of these tournaments and tag leagues and this and that and everything. And, you know, if WWE just got on board into the same thing, like, you have the King of the Ring in June. So you have a pay-per-view with eight men, but it started with 32, and it led to those four from Raw and four from SmackDown, and now they're wrestling at the pay-per-view. Like... from the day after WrestleMania on.
Have it start on Raw and SmackDown with qualifiers.
Yep.
And then say, hey, now, you know, you have Raw, you have SmackDown, and now every Thursday night we're going to put out another episode on the network.
Yeah.
It's an hour long. It's going to be 2-3 matches.
Yeah.
And it's going to build its way to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I think it'd be better.
And I would much rather watch an hour a week on the network of matches that mattered.
Yep.
Then, you know, what used to be pay-per-views every month.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's so much crap that they throw two matches on a pre-show, and then you have 3.5 hours of a show, and it's like literally partway through the show, just random people come out and start throwing lettuce at some guy playing a guitar until they have a match. And, like, I get there was extenuating circumstances with that event.
Right.
But, I mean, come on. You know, you can't have an entire build to a match on a pay-per-view spread out through, you know, 5-minute segments that were pointless and no one cared about, and then have a match later in the show. Just cut 10 minutes off the runtime.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, I think that's – okay, let's look what – To I guess, I don't know, quantify this, or not quantify this, but just to go along what we're talking about. I have a buddy, Brandon. We've been emailing about wrestling lately, and he sent me this question, and I know you've already posed it, so I've already sent it to you, but I'm going to read it out loud right now anyways. It says, it makes you wonder how important a build-up is in wrestling. I recently saw Brad Strutz of CWF arguing with someone about how PWG doesn't create storylines because of that. The fans are not invested. My initial reaction was to agree with him, but then thinking back, I don't know if I do. The whole he says, she says abusive authority storylines have worn me out. I'd much rather see two guys in the ring just beat the hell out of each other because they don't like one another than spending 4 weeks watching a soap opera unfold. I wonder if storylines have been too complicated and too TV-like instead of keeping things simple. You broke my arm, so I'm going to kick your ass the way things used to be. I don't know, just mindless rambling here, but I think it's a topic worth examining. And I agree with him. I think it is a topic worth examining. And it's kind of what we're saying, like... We actually want to see a story build, but we don't want to see authority bullshit. We don't want to see that. We want to see this match mean something because the winner is going to advance to this tournament, and then the winner of the tournament is going to mean something.
Right.
So we want it to mean something because we want to watch the wrestling, and we want the matches to mean something, and the matches to tell a story. But
see, but I mean, if you
because
think
it's
about
wrestling,
it, though,
not because of drama.
Going back to even when we were kids,
and
we were watching in the 80s, I mean, they had ridiculous drama build stuff.
Well, but it wasn't like it is now. I mean, like...
Really?
Well, it was, but it wasn't. Like, it was as it, in, like, you had Ricky Steamboat.
It wasn't the evil authority figure, but you had
right, and
Vic
that's
Martel and Jake Roberts starting to feud, and then, oh, he sprayed him in the eyes, and Jake Roberts was gone for a while. Then he came back, and his glasses not, and he had his eyes were all clouded over, and then he was trying to get his hands on it, and it built and built and built until that match.
Right.
You had, you know, Jake Roberts torturing the Ultimate Warrior, you know, putting him in the thing, you know, with the Undertaker, building and building and building. You know, there
but
was
that
all,
was one
there
wrestler were, messing with another wrestler. It
right,
was,
but
it
there
was
were
Ricky
multiple stories like that.
But but those two stories you just talked about, they didn't take place at the same time.
I'm saying there were things going on at the same time, because when like the war, you know, the Ultimate Warrior and Undertaker thing was happening, you had Hogan and Earthquake, you know, at the same time.
But it
you
was
had,
told in the ring. You know,
I
like.
Guess. But it wasn't always.
But see, I think what it is for me now, it's the authority thing. It's ever since 1997 when Vince McMahon turned heel and you know, said this is how I'm going to have my company, and you had Austin versus McMahon. I think that as great as it was then, now it just kind of ruins wrestling, because now every storyline after that point, WCW did it, TNA's been doing it, you know, WWE hasn't stopped doing it, where you have an authority figure against somebody, or authority figures against somebody else. You know, I mean, we've literally been watching a McMahon for 20 years screech and scream and yell on the TV telling us why this person sucks or doesn't suck, or you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Whether it's Vince or Stephanie or Shane. And then if you look over on Nitro, you had Eric Bischoff and then Vince Russo and then Russoff and Bischoff together. And then in TNA, right away, you had Jeff Jarrett, who was the champion and the friggin' authority guy. Or you had, for a little bit, there was Callis, and then it was Vince Russo, and then it was Eric Bischoff, and now then it was Dixie Carter. You know, like, it's always some authority figure who's throwing monkey wrenches in people's paths, and it's just you know, like, back when Shane McMahon, when Rick Martel sprayed Arrogance in Jake Roberts' eyes, you know, we saw that happening. He was injured. You saw the vignettes for the Brother Love show where you see, you know, Jake's eye, like you said, and then they had a match. There was no authority figure involved.
There was President Jack Tunney who made that match.
Right. That's it, though. He was biased. You know what I mean? I mean, unbiased. You had, going all the way back to, you know, Randy Savage dropping the bell on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's throat, causing him to almost permanently damage his vocal cords, and Ricky Steamboat having to learn to speak, to learn to speak again, and then coming back and then beating Savage for the title. You know, like, I told a great story, but, like, I think it's just this whole authority figure thing just drives me nuts. And, you know, you watch PWG, and they do have some storylines going on. They have their championship belt always has a storyline. But you're right, they do have a lot of shows where they just have two guys wrestle just to see who's the better man. And it's damn entertaining.
But that's the thing. Look at what they had to do at the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
When everybody got sick. Like, you know what? AJ Styles, come here and fight Finn Balor.
Yep.
I
loved it, though.
First of all, those two guys are amazing. So, like, it's a little bit different.
Right.
But that, to me, that's what PWG is. It's like, hey, we want to see these matches.
Yeah.
I'd love to see these two guys fight. I'd like to see these two guys fight. And then they go, you know what? Here's your new, you know, here's the new event. These guys are all fighting.
Yep.
You know, in a situation like that, where it's not really, you know, it's not a weekly TV show. It's not a... Give me whatever, you know, like Wrestle Kingdom. You got Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, give me that match. I'll watch that all the time. But I don't need you to have – I mean, the two of them were kind of going back and forth on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, building a little bit of a feud, you know, to get some hype. But, like, I don't even need that. If you're just going to tell me at Wrestle Kingdom that you're just going to give me Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, I'd be like, well, hell yeah.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, the name Kenny Omega, the name Chris Jericho, it means something. Like, think of it this way. Oh, we're going to give you Bo Dallas against Curtis Axel.
But you know what? Maybe that would be an awesome match.
It probably really could be if they actually let him go.
That's, you know, I don't know how great those guys. I mean, Bo Dallas was pretty good in NXT.
He was. He was the champion in NXT. You know what? But think about, you know, NXT, I think, works really well because their storylines are simple.
Right.
And they cut good promos, and it makes sense. I think Raw and SmackDown, everything's just too complicated.
Yeah.
I think the storylines are too complicated. I think they need to step back, and they just need to say, you know, less is more. Let's get rid of authority people. Let's get rid of commissioners. Let's get rid of all this shit.
Yeah.
We don't need it. We don't need any of that stuff. Let's just have this guy wrestle this guy, and then this guy wrestle this guy, and go back to how you used to tell stories in wrestling as opposed to how they're doing it now.
Yeah.
And we don't need 13 match cards.
No. I mean, I get it's WrestleMania and you want to put everybody on.
Yeah.
But like 11 matches and pre-show matches and all, like, come on. Unless it's a WrestleMania 4 where you're going to give me, you know, like an awesome tournament throughout, I don't need to have matches, a card that has, you know, four different matches that are under 5 minutes long.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I don't have time to sit from 5 until like midnight watching an event.
And the thing is if every match they are giving you was a phenomenal match, then you'd be okay with it. But I would rather sit down and watch a action-packed 2-hour and 45-minute, you know, NXT takeover event that has 5 or 6 solid matches, then sit down to watch the 5 hours of, oh, now we got to kind of sit through this match, or now we got to kind of sit through this match. And as much as I love WrestleMania, as much as I love wrestling, I will say this. That entranceway at WrestleMania last year was way too long.
What are you talking about? It was like
the length of a football field. Excessive. Like, it was too long. Like, they should have had the carts for everybody like WrestleMania 3. Because it took way too long for everyone to get to the ring. You know, like, you watch the Hardys explosive return, and it takes them 5 minutes to get down there. You know, like, it's just... Yeah, it was too long. What was it? They had, what was the Royal Rumble last year, which was in... you know, it was in what, the San Antonio, right? At the Dome.
Yeah.
And they didn't show it on Tv, but, like, Big Show, Braun Strowman, the big guys, they had a cart that took them down. And then you have, like, everyone else has to get to the ring on their own. So you have Ty Dillinger making his main roster debut, and he can't even, like, take some time and soak it in to, before he gets down there, because he's got to quickly get his gear off and jog to the ring so that way he can be in the ring for 30 seconds before the next guy comes out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I think we got turned around a little bit on that one, but that's okay.
Yeah, it happens.
So Hideo Itami, I heard, is going to 205 Live. So I'm sure he's glad he signed with WWE and left Noah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Whatever. Like, at this point, I don't know, man. It seems like what's going to happen in the next year or so.
Yeah.
All of the people who should be main eventing stuff in WWE are going to start disappearing and going to start doing the Cody Rhodes model and just making $1 billion doing indies.
It's working for Cody Rhodes.
I mean, it's working for the Young Bucks, for Cody Rhodes, for a whole bunch of people.
You know,
pretty soon Neville is going to join that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
You know,
without a doubt.
I guarantee Emma is going to make mint too, because she's amazing and she'll go all over the world.
I heard this today. I wonder if she has a visa from Like, if she got her green card, or if she just has a work visa from WWE because she's Australian.
Right.
Because if she has a work visa, then she'd probably get kicked back to Australia.
You were going to say Canada.
I almost did say Canada, yeah. So. Hey,
But at the same time, Neville is English, so who knows what, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's all good.
Jumping over to Impact Wrestling for a minute. For a few minutes. So Impact Wrestling is officially called Impact Wrestling again. They were briefly called Global Force Wrestling from June through September. But now they're officially Impact Wrestling, and they've dropped the Global Force Wrestling name from their name. They've dropped the Global Force Wrestling name from all their titles. They're just straight up Impact Wrestling again.
They've also dropped most of their roster lately, if you've...
Well, I was about to say, a big chunk of their roster has left. And not only that, but their three prime referees, Brian Heppner, Earl Heppner, and the Stifler Kid, they've all left TNA as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I just read that today. That Earl's gone and Brian's gone, and apparently the Stifler Kid's been gone for a little while because Anthem is a Canadian company.
Okay.
And that's who bought Impact. And apparently Anthem, yeah, they're based out of Toronto, Ontario, and apparently from the looks of things, they're moving Impact to Canada.
Well, I saw that they're doing the shows up there.
Well, they did Bound for Glory. For the... God, I know. They're hiring people to be in the audience. They're paying people like $150 to sit in the audience or something like that.
Well, it's $50.
$50. That's what I meant.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest, man. I totally would do that.
If I lived near there, of course I would.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I'm like, I would go. I'd bring my whole family. Why not?
I mean, they just had the pay-per-view this past Sunday in Ottawa, Ontario. They're doing TV tapings all this week to get their TV tape for the rest of the year. And it's going to be in Canada. And they're not using, like, they're using a lot of local referees. That's why they weren't using the Hebners. And that's why they left. The people that have left TNA recently, they all probably would have trouble getting into Canada. For various reasons, either visa reasons or passport reasons or OUI reasons or whatever. And where they're primarily going to be a Canadian company now, it's that's kind of where they're going to be based out of. I know, like I said, Bound for Glory, this was this past weekend. It's only their second pay-per-view this year. And I'm not going to lie, I've heard a lot of negative things about the show. And... one of the only match I was actually – the match I was looking forward to the most hearing about or watching or whatever, if you will, was going to be Rosemary against Taya Valkyrie in a First Blood match. And that match did not happen because Taya, who is a Canadian citizen, but she has residency in the United States, was concerned that if she went to Canada – she couldn't get back in because she hasn't finalized her paperwork on her U.S. residency yet.
Oh, my goodness. Like, it's just a comedy of errors with that company.
Right? So, because of that, because, you know, the TV taping decision was kind of last minute as well and whatnot. So, essentially, like, she was involved in one of the – I mean, even the build-up video that they released was really good for this match. So one of the hottest matches of the pay-per-view didn't happen. One of the biggest feuds is not going to happen. And the one half of that's not even going to be on TV for the rest of the year because she couldn't go to the TV tapings. But I don't want to go over Bound for Glory because I don't need to. I will say Sami Callihan made an appearance. That was pretty damn awesome. Yeah. That covers what I want to talk about for Impact Wrestling.
It covers more than I want to talk about for Impact Wrestling.
Well, that's just the way it is. So New Japan Pro Wrestling Power Struggle also had their pay-per-view. Sorry, had their pay-per-view Power Struggle on November 5th, the same day as Impact had Bound for Glory. And that was decidedly a much better pay-per-view. And obviously, like you said earlier, it was revealed that Chris Jericho is challenged Kenny Omega for Wrestle Kingdom 12 at the Tokyo Dome. And what I think is interesting about that is how Jericho has been so openly said for years now that essentially if it's not happening in the WWE, then it doesn't really matter. It's just the minor leagues. And has meant it. And then even Don Callis last week on his podcast with Lance Storm even said himself that he would never expect them to have a match together. This was before the match was announced. I'm sure he knew about it by then anyways.
Right.
Because Jericho has always said, oh, everything's minor leagues. And you know, I've heard him say it for years. Read it in his books. I've heard him say it in his podcast for years. When he interviews wrestlers that are not in the WWE or whatever, he talks that way, essentially saying that anything not WWE is just kind of whatever. It's bullshit. It's crap. It's, you know, it's nowhere near as good. And so that's one of the reasons why I was surprised the most that Jericho appeared to challenge Omega.
Yeah.
I was reading today, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer stated that Jericho got the idea from Mayweather against McGregor, and he thought, well, what match out there could there be that no one would ever expect to see ever happening? And he figured him against Omega would be it. And, you know, Gato, who's the booker for New Japan, used to be tag partners and friends with Jericho, and so, I mean, there's an easy enough way for him to reach out and ask, and from everything I read, it's going to be a one-shot deal, so, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, you know how every time Jericho comes back or does something, he's always, like, reinvents himself in a way?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's going to grow his hair back to be Lionheart, but...
I don't know, it's pretty long right now, two more months of growth, it could be.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But, and, man, I really hope that he goes back to, I mean, obviously it's been, you know, 25 years.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't see him coming out.
But.
I don't see him coming out in, I see him get new gear. I think he'd go back to long pants and maybe even a vest. I don't see the scarf. I don't see the list, obviously. The light-up jacket, nothing like that.
Right.
I see this being completely different Jericho. Because that's what he's always kind of done, is presented himself in a different light each time type of thing. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, I honestly don't know if he's been back in Japan since he was in Japan. I'm sure
he's
done shows
here. Well, he's wrestled for WWE in Japan.
Right.
He's wrestled many. He did the... He wrestled Nakamura in Japan for WWE.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming out of Power Struggle as well, you know, or going into... Because Power Struggle is essentially the last big show before Wrestle Kingdom 12, because now they're going into the Tag League, and that'll eat up the next couple of months of TV for New Japan. So you have Wrestle Kingdom 12, Okada against Naito for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Omega versus Jericho. You're looking at Tanahashi against Jay White, who's making his return. They've been having this mysterious Switchblade character vignettes playing, and it turns out it's Jay White. And so it looks like Jay White's going to be challenging Tanahashi. Jay White's from New Zealand. He's a young boy in New Japan. Got sent out for his excursion with the Ring of Honor. He's been gone for over a year now. So, no surprise to see him back. And then Cody Rhodes apparently appeared at Power Struggle and challenged Ibushi.
Oh, yeah?
To face him for the Ring of Honor world title at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
That'll be cool. Well, Cody Rhodes was at Wrestle Kingdom last year, right?
Yes, that was his debut for New Japan, was at Wrestle Kingdom last year.
Right.
And he wrestled Juice Robinson.
Right.
Yeah, and excuse me for a second. And then, you know, he went on to win the Ring of Honor title that June.
Yeah.
At the... pay-per-view in Lowell, Massachusetts, I was sitting front row at, and took that kick-ass picture of him holding the belt,
so
crying.
Cool.
That was a great picture, wasn't it? Like, to toot my own horn. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, I think next time he's by you, you should make like a nice printout of it and give it to him.
I agree with you 100%. And get it signed. Just get one for myself signed.
Yeah.
Because that's probably the greatest wrestling picture I've ever taken.
I have not seen every one of your wrestling pictures.
I've taken a lot.
But I would not doubt that. That was a pretty fantastic picture.
And I don't mean like the pictures. Like there's a picture that there's a few I'm in that I'm very partial to, like me and the Four Horsemen.
And never heard of them.
Yeah, I know you haven't. It's this.
Oh, that's like Ronda Rousey and all them, right?
No, that's women. This is men. This was back in the 80s. At the original version was J.J. Dillon.
Oh, it was Earthquake and Typhoon.
No, those are the natural disasters. This is the Four Horsemen. I got a picture of me and Terry Funk that's pretty awesome. Because he's got his arm around me like we're long lost buddies, and he's got this big, big smile on his face. And
truth be told, he just couldn't stand up. He's using his support.
He actually did stand up to take the picture with me, which was really cool. It was at a show in 2000. It was in 2002. So he
he was only like 83 years old.
Well, it was 15 years ago, so he was actually in his late 50s, I want to say, for being serious.
He's in his early 70s now, right?
Yeah. So early, maybe, yeah. So anyways, but he actually stood up, and he put his arm around me, and his head was all bandaged up from blading the night before, and it's a badass picture, actually. It's pretty damn awesome. But yeah, this picture I took of Cody of him holding the belt, it's definitely my all-time favorite picture I've ever taken at a wrestling show. So, yeah, so seeing him on the card against Ibushi, essentially, Cody is that guy that he has the new school mentality of wrestling, but he also has that tradition of the old school because of his name and his style in the ring and everything. So, I don't know. I think this is leading into my talk of the NWA title, but I think he's the one guy that if he hadn't signed with Ring of Honor, if they would have put the NWA World Championship on him, he really, I think, could have brought that company to prominence, being one of those old school touring champions.
Yeah.
That went around to all the indie leagues and everything. Have you been watching the NWA 10 Pounds of Gold YouTube channel, their specials?
No, you told me about it the last time we recorded, and I haven't had a chance.
Well, they've done a few episodes, and actually the NWA, Tim Storm has been the NWA champion for more than a year, and as much as I love and follow wrestling, like, you have to search things out about the NWA since he won the belt, just to see what's going on. Even before he won the belt, when Bruce Tharp had the company, I mean, if I wasn't Facebook friends with him, I would never probably see anything about the NWA. And when Tim Storm won the belt, my first reaction is, who the fuck is Tim Storm? And I really had to search to find anything. I mean, he essentially has been wrestling for 20-plus years, but he's basically stayed in the Texas area. Texas, you know, Arizona, Arkansas, you know, Oklahoma, Nevada, California, like that's pretty much where he stayed. I can't find any evidence of him ever going to Japan or Canada even, or just anywhere, even Mexico, other than just that, you know, southern, southwestern United States area. And he had one match in WWE, and it was an ECW on Sci-Fi match against, I think, Viscera. That went like 2 minutes when they were in Arizona. So I just couldn't find anything on him. And ever since Corgan bought the company, he was silent until October, when all the licensees expired of all the affiliates. So there's no affiliates anymore. And then they started doing these YouTube video series looking at Tim Storm, talking about him, the NWA Championship. I mean, really pushing and promoting him. And then they've even showed, because on their YouTube channel, they showed a match from Tim Storm at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, where he beat a guy. And then Nick Aldis came out and challenged him for the belt. And then the next week, they showed another match of, and this is on their YouTube channel, so it's like they're doing their own stuff, but it was a match also taped at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, where Nick Aldis beat a guy and then cut a promo about Tim Storm. And now this Saturday, or this Sunday, November 12th, I believe it is. Yep. Tim Storm's defending the NWA World title against Nick Aldis in Los Angeles. And that match will be on their YouTube channel after it's over as well. So, I mean, like, you know, they've basically said, here's a challenger, here's a champion, here's an enhancement match of them both. We're doing these vignette videos talking about them to build them. Now they're going to have a match. And then after that match is over, either Tim Storm will move on to the next challenger, or he'll challenge for the belt if he loses, or whatever it is they do. But, like, this is kind of what we were talking about earlier when it comes to promoting a match.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple. It's basic. It's telling a story. I mean, I don't know. I like it. I think they're doing a good job with it.
Sounds like it.
I know I want to watch it. It interests me. So, yeah. Yeah. What about you? You got anything else wrestling you want to chit-chat about?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, no, I don't really have anything.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, I guess that covers everything I want to talk about. I mean, it was a lot. We covered some WWE, some NXTs, some Impact, NWA, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. We covered the gamut.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, all right? I need to know your opinion about this, because I don't know if I've ever asked you this.
Uh-oh.
But chronologically, where do you consider the Torii years to be? Is that, like, alternate
world? First of all,
world?
It wasn't years. It was six episodes in the middle of their senior year of high school for some random reason.
No, it was – no, I know I said years, but it was more than six episodes, wasn't it?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was just a handful of episodes.
I knew it wasn't very long. I thought it was like a short season type of thing.
No, but it happened in the middle of the season, and see, for some random reason, Kelly and Jesse were just gone for a bit, and then even more random, Torii was gone, and Jesse and Kelly were back, and then they graduated high school.
See, all right, I remember I do remember – see, I don't remember if I watched it live. I think that's the problem. I don't recall if I watched it live or not.
That is the problem.
Saved by the Bell. Okay? But I know that – I felt like they did a season without them. Like, I felt like they somehow did an extra season without them. This is at the time watching it. And then they, for the final episodes, they're like, these are going to be the final episodes. You girls got to come back. And so they did.
Okay, it was 10 episodes. I just
okay, all right. I knew it was more than six. But chronologically, do you consider that part of the Saved by the Bell universe, or do you consider that, like, alternate world?
Well, I mean, it has to be part of the universe, because most of everybody else is still there.
Yeah, but then once Jesse and Kelly come back, they don't even acknowledge Torii ever existed.
Correct.
So was she even there? I mean, it was a fever dream.
It was a fever dream.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Things like that befuddle me sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Why they would even bother doing that?
Yeah. I mean, why not? I don't remember what it was. I remember – I did know at some point what the reason was.
Yeah.
Why they were gone.
Yeah.
But I forget what it is now.
Like, okay. I hate the fact that they call the Hawaiian style.
Okay.
Like, it's, oh, that was four episodes. No, it was a movie.
No, it's a movie. Yeah.
It was just a movie. It wasn't four episodes at all.
But
it was a movie.
When it first aired on TV, I mean, it was aired as a movie, but then it was aired as four separate episodes.
And then the wedding in Las Vegas.
Same thing. Well, the wedding in Las Vegas was not.
That's a movie.
That was a movie.
Yeah.
That was the movie to end the show.
but it's almost like they take that and they broke that down to being episodic as well, and they attached it to the college years. And
because it was attached to the college years. Correct, that's how the college years ended.
And syndication reruns, it's tucked in with the college years.
Correct, at the end of it.
As like four episodes.
Right.
Do you think the college years failed because they put it on prime time instead of leaving it on Saturday morning?
I think that's probably a big part of it, to be honest. But at the same time, you know, at that time, what was on? 90210 was big, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't make it a drama. It was still a half-hour comedy.
Right, but I don't know. It's weird. I mean, because on Saturday mornings when that was on, they had The New Class.
Yep.
They had – what was the other crappy one? The kids that played basketball. City Guys.
First of all, are you talking about – not City Guys. They didn't play basketball.
Didn't they play basketball?
Nah, well, that wasn't the City Guys. That was – oh, no, I'm thinking of Hanging with Mr. Cooper. No. Was it Hoop Dreams? No, that was a movie.
I don't know. Well, California Dreams was the other one.
California Dreams. You had City Guys. You had – Another World, or One World, no, yeah. You had...
New Class.
I don't remember City Guys being about basketball, but maybe it was.
It probably wasn't. I'm sure I'm thinking of something else. But it's been... I mean, it's been like 25 years.
Yeah. Okay, so... season 4 starts.
Yeah.
And when season 4 starts... Jesse and Kelly are gone. Actually, that's a lie. When season 4 starts,
they're there.
They're still there for the first two episodes, for the first 3 episodes.
Okay.
Because the third one is Screech's Spaghetti Sauce.
Oh yeah.
And then literally, like, because then episode 4 is when they introduce Tori.
Okay.
And then she's on there for the next
10 episodes.
Yeah, like 10 episodes, let's just say. And... But no, because... Yeah, and then she's basically gone, I guess?
Yeah. But, I mean, look... I mean, granted, she was a main character. But no, I mean,
just think about this real quick, okay? You have Tori there for all these episodes. And then... From like episode 4, Tori shows up. And then in episode 5 of that season, sorry, she's there. And then episode 6 is the one where Zach becomes close to the disabled girl on the teen hotline, and he just basically shits all over her.
That was a Tori episode.
Yeah, exactly.
It was her idea to make the hotline.
Correct, correct. But then episode 11... You have Slater and Jesse are dating, and Jesse's on the show.
Okay.
And then in episode 12, Zach gets scammed by the guy buying the fake rings. It turns everyone's fingers green.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then... I don't remember this one. A favorite student dies, leaves $10,000 in his will, resulting the guys and the girls fighting over who should get the money.
Yeah, remember? They did the blue and the red... obstacle episode. Course thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you have like the senior prom where Zach is all sad that Kelly has a date, but just the episode prior to that, Zach falls for Slater's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what was wrong with the show. Everything was way the frig out of order.
Well, that is probably what happened. They probably had stuff with Kelly and Jesse, like they weren't gonna be back for the season.
Yeah.
So they said, well, let's add this new love interest girl into the show.
Yeah.
So they filmed 10 episodes, and while they were filming those, Kelly and Jesse are like, yeah, we'll come back to do the last season.
You know, it's funny. Instead
of airing it and starting it with Tori, they put a few episodes with the people they knew.
Yeah.
And then threw in, you know, just sprinkled them in.
Because, like, I'm reading this now, and I'm just like, I remember these episodes, but, like, I must not have watched them when they were in order on TV, or I did but didn't give a shit because I was 12 and 13 years old. But, like, I'm looking at this one here, and it's, like, episode 18 of season 4, the video yearbook. It says, note, this episode was supposed to be in season 2 but was held back. This is evident because at the beginning of the episode, Zach mentions he's 16 and does not have a car, although he is shown driving his car in other episodes of this season. And then the next episode, Screech's birthday, it says, this episode was intended to be in season 1 and then was originally scheduled to air in 1990 but was held back for unknown reasons. This is evident because the kids much younger and Alonzo was still credited as a cast member even though he left the beginning of season 2. However, in the DVD complete series, this episode was moved to episode 20 of season 1.
That's funny.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of these. Like this, oh god. Episode 23 of season 4. This episode was intended to be in season 1. That's hilarious. Oh, this one was put as episode 19 of season 1 on the complete series DVD release. Nice. Nice. This is all good stuff. And then the graduation episode. Okay. The last episode of season 4 aired December 5th, 92, and then the graduation episode aired May 22nd of 93.
Interesting.
And it aired in primetime on Saturday originally.
See, that I don't remember. I remember when Saved by the Bell was first going to be on TV, yeah. Like they were really pushing it.
Yep.
I remember my family, we were on vacation in Lake George.
Yep.
And I remember it was maybe the Saturday night or something. Where Saved by the Bell was going to be on in primetime. And they show, and my, like, we all sat and watched it for some, I have no idea why, but like in our hotel room, we all were there. Me, my parents, and my sister, and we watched this episode of Saved by the Bell. And it was the one with Casey Kasem and the dance.
Oh, thing, and they got to save the Max. Ankle. I'm Casey Kasem. Yeah.
That was
everyone, dude. The hop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that was a good one.
Yeah, I'm like, it was just so bizarre that that was what they did. And then I'm like, oh, here's this new show. And I remember sitting and watching the show like every week after that. But, yeah.
That's excellent. That yeah. is excellent. I'm trying to find, when was the, when was it they go to, they go to the beach and they work at, for Mr. That Caruso? Was-
That was probably in the third season.
Was that mixed
and in? And it wasn't. And it was Carosi, not Caruso.
That's what I meant, Carosi, Mr. Carosi.
No, no, no. They just aired
oh, there it is.
Like six
season
in a row.
Season 3. Yeah, The Last Dance.
Yeah.
First episode is the last. In order to afford a costume for the Scoo's costume ball, Kelly has to get a job working at the Max. However, Kelly spends more time working with her boss, Jeff Hunter. She
that's
falls
she...
for him.
Yeah.
And must tell Zach that the relationship is over.
When they dance outside the prom.
Yeah.
When, for some odd reason, Jesse and Slater are singing.
Yeah, that is still odd to this day. And then the very next episode is Zach's birthday, and the gang takes summer jobs at the beach resort.
Yep.
That was one, two, three. Zach sprains his knee before a big basketball game and is in the hospital. So, according to this, they only had 3 episodes.
At the beach?
At the beach, yeah.
No, that's impossible. That's impossible. Because it was
they, well,
birthday
hold on.
Episode?
Then they showed Operation Zach, where he sprains his knee before a big basketball game. He's in the hospital. Lisa's a part-time candy striper, remember? Because her
yeah.
mom's a surgeon.
Yeah, and then she the tries next to episode, sneak Zach out to go play.
Yeah, and then the next episode after that is the annual 4th of July beauty pageant at the resort.
Good stuff.
And then the one after that is the AOL chess competition between Bayside and the rival Valley.
Yeah.
And the one after that is Zach and the gang enter the annual ATV race when Stacy's ex-boyfriend Craig shows up. So it's almost like they were airing 2 episodes a week, and like the first episode was the
yeah, that could be it.
The beach episodes, and then the second episode was like a standard
the regular.
Episode. Yeah.
Huh.
Which probably makes you think why, yeah. It's amazing how screwed up in order these were.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a Joss Whedon show on Fox.
But, Firefly was brilliant.
Saint Dollhouse was really good too until
Dollhouse
they started
was excellent.
That
yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Dollhouse. I kind of... Well, you know, Dollhouse took a hard turn at the end, though.
Because...
You know?
Do you know why?
Tell me why.
Because he had 5 seasons planned out of the show.
Yep.
And when they said, you know what, we're canceling it after the second season, yeah. He crammed the other 3 seasons worth of stuff into the end of the second season. Which is why the woman who ran the house, why her character, like, every episode changes so wildly. She goes through, like, she's an alcoholic, she's not, all of a sudden she's better, all of a sudden she's helping them after she's been fighting them, and then she's, and it was just, like, really bizarre. But then you start seeing, oh, yeah, because this was the arc I wanted to tell, and I condensed it from 3 seasons into 8 episodes.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Bizarre.
I did enjoy the show, though.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Another show that I liked a lot that made me think of this, took a hard right turn there, was Fringe. Did you ever watch Fringe?
I did watch Fringe.
I loved the first season.
And I loved the whole run of that show.
Well, okay, I kind of had a problem with the third season because it's like we were watching a completely different show.
Was the... See, this is the thing. When Fringe first started...
I said the third season. I didn't mean the third season. But anyways, when Fringe first started...
I watched like 2 episodes and I was like, nope, and I stopped.
I did the same thing. Then, I watched the first couple, and I was like, eh.
And then I ignored it. And for a while, friends of mine were like, you'd love this show. You'd love this show.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I was like, nah, not interested.
Yep.
It was probably like – I want to say it was maybe after the third season ended or in the middle of the third season. I was at some family thing, and two of my cousins – who I generally like, we share a lot of the same tastes in movies, TV, and books. So they're like, oh man, are you watching Fringe? I'm like, no. And they're like, you need to start watching this show. And I was like, I don't know. And I don't remember if my wife was pregnant at the time or whatever it was, but we started – this is back when Netflix was DVDs only.
Yes.
We just started getting Fringe, and we sat – she probably was pregnant because we sat and we would watch – like one, we had it worked out, so we had a DVD. We sent back a DVD, and we would get one the next day. So like every day, we were getting the next disc. So we'd sit and watch, you know, 2 or 3 episodes a night, and we like plowed through the first 2 seasons, and then the third season, we caught up so that we could watch it live with season 4.
Yep.
And we were totally hooked. I'm like, how did I not watch this earlier?
I really enjoyed the first 3 seasons of the show.
Okay.
Because it reminded me, like, of a futuristic kind of version of The X-Files.
Except The X-Files is terrible and Fringe was good.
X-Files is not terrible. Shut your damn mouth.
Terrible.
When... I think it's when the parallel universes got joined together in season 4. Okay. And basically they could walk back and forth between them so easily. I was like, eh, it's not as cool. And then with season 5... when it just went off the deep end, like, that was such a hard right turn. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. It was weird.
Where all of a sudden it jumped to the year 2036.
Yeah, with, you know, the daughter 24 stuff years and later. All that.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I was just like, what the frig? And I don't know. I don't know. I thought it started out strong, but it ended on a huge... That's what I was getting at. It took a huge left turn near the end, kind of like Dollhouse did. Except Fringe got 5 seasons.
Yeah. But, I mean, Fringe?
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. The best part about Fringe for me is when we'd watch it, you know, and then all of a sudden, the opening credits were, like, a little different.
Oh, God, and it's that like was a different, so cool.
A different color. I'm like... Didn't this used to be blue?
Yeah,
you know, when it was yellow,
the parallel universe, like, it was a different color.
That's kind of weird. And then you're watching it and you're like, this doesn't seem right. Like something. And then you're like, or, oh.
They did a couple episodes that like took place in the 80s or whatever when Walter was younger.
And they had like the intro.
Yes.
And then later
on,
there was like the grayish kind of intro.
Yeah.
You know, like anytime they were in a different universe or time. It was all – and you're just like, oh, my God. And then
that was brilliant how they did that.
As we're watching the show, if you saw, like, if the opening credits were like a little bit different, you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is going to be great.
No, I agree with that. That was so original, so unique how they did the opening credits, you know, based on the color scheme, you know, what universe we were looking at. And then based on what they showed, we knew what time frame we were looking at. Now, that was genius. That was awesome.
Yep.
Did you ever watch Millennium?
Millennium. I don't think so.
It was a Chris Carter show. It went for 3 seasons. Frank Black was played by Lance Henriksen. It took place in, like, Washington. Well, the first season did, at least. And it was essentially about this secret group called the Millennium Group. And it had a lot to do with the millennium, the year 2000. So I think the show originally aired like 97, 98, 99, or 96 through 99, something like that. It didn't actually make it to the year 2000. But it had 3 seasons. The first season was phenomenal. The second season, it completely flopped because it had completely different showrunners, and it went... Like, the first season, he was a retired FBI, essentially, behavioralist, you know, profiler. But he still kind of got sucked into investigating cases. The second season, he's back with the FBI now, actively investigating cases. And then the third season, it's like, okay, it returned to how the format of the first season was. That was another one of those shows where I loved that show, by the way. But, like, the first season and then the second to the third, like, completely differed, and it was a tremendous change based on the showrunners who did
right.
it. But that was cool. That was a cool show because it got the story was able to be finalized on the X-Files. Because I want to say it was X-Files Season 8, the episode that aired near the year 2000, like, 99 to 2000. Was an episode involving Frank Black, and whenever you saw him, they would play the Millennium theme, like, in the background or whatever.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool. It's the same thing like the Lone Gunman TV series. They got their final episode in Season 9 of The X-Files. You know, they got to tell... And again, that episode of The X-Files had, like, the original Lone Gunman kind of theme. It brought back the new secondary characters that we met in the Lone Gunman series that we hadn't seen in The X-Files before, and so that was pretty cool. I liked how they did that. Did you ever watch Harsh Realms?
No.
That was another Chris Carter series. Only made it 1 season. Had nothing to do with the X-Files. It was never tied into it or whatever. But it involved like a virtual reality world. It was kind of neat.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have that on DVD around here somewhere. Probably in my closet with the rest of my DVDs, actually. Because, you know, that's where I keep them. Fucking idiot.
Makes sense.
All right. I guess that should wrap it up this week.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's good. I'm not even going to edit any of this TV stuff out. It's staying in.
I'm perfectly okay with that. We just backed our pilot there, Saved by the Bell show.
We got to get that off the ground. I want to talk Saved by the Bell more now.
We'll see what the feedback is on this episode.
Yeah, we'll see what people have to say. Fans, do you want to hear a Saved by the Bell podcast with Aaron and I talking about Saved by the Bell in detail? Let us know. I'm at Superstar Mel on Twitter.
I am at Aaron S. Bell.
The show is at Thousand Holds Pod on the Twitter and Podcast for Thousand Holds on the Facebook. So, yeah, thanks.
Jolly good show.
I thought you were going to say, because it's all right. I'm Saved by the Bell.
No, I was thinking about doing a hey, 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 hey. What is going on here? But then I thought, like, I should probably wrap it up on a wrestling thing. And we were talking UK.
Oh, okay. That works. So, it works.
Yeah.
It all works.
See? I'm thinking.